What a powerful song to end on. Because really, that's all that this life is about. There is nothing else. We can get sidetracked in a lot of different ways and in a lot of different things. But the reality is, that's all of life. Because without Jesus, we have nothing. We really do. We have a short span of time here on this earth that we can do some things. But without Him, we really have nothing. I want to start this morning with a little bit of story and a little bit of a heartbeat that I have for the church. It actually would fit better at the end of my message, but I want to start now. One of my hopes and passions for this church in the future that has been, it's been a part of where I've been throughout the years, but it's been revived in me again in the last number of weeks, is that we become a place, this building and this church house, but way beyond it, our hearts becomes a place where we come and meet with the Lord. Because we can come and do a service here Sunday mornings and we can have a great time. And we can go out on the other side saying, wow, what an incredible time together. But if we haven't met with the Lord here, we haven't accomplished anything. You know, a number of years ago, and when I was younger, my brother-in-law and I used to go up to Penn State games. And when we decided to go to a Penn State game, I didn't show up at the last minute because I wanted to get all of what that game was going to afford. So we would show up 2 hours ahead of time and we would go into the stadium and we'd soak up the music that the band was playing and we'd watch the team practice on the field and watch the energy that they were beginning to generate. And by the time the game started, we were pumped and we were ready to go. And I could never figure out people that would be sitting around us that would show up halfway through the first quarter and leave halfway through the third quarter and you wouldn't see them again. And I would say, what's the purpose of going to a game? And I know what they're saying. Yeah, we saw the good points. We saw some of the good plays. The game was over and so we're getting out of here. We're beating the traffic and all those kind of things. But I could never figure it out because if I was going to go to a game, I wanted to get all of the game. And many times we would stay after. And the one time we were watching a game, his brother-in-law on the other side was with us, and he thought we were crazy because it was snowing so hard that at times we couldn't see the field. We couldn't even see the players on the field. We were up in the top deck of the stadium, and it was snowing so hard we couldn't see the field, and we weren't leaving because we were in the middle of a game and we were having fun. And he's sitting there saying, man, you guys are crazy. He didn't say it in those words, but every fiber of his being was sending that message to us. The truth is, so often that's how we do church. We show up and we do our little thing, and we might show up halfway through the first quarter, and we might leave before it's over. And we really miss what God wants to do in our lives. And one of the things, I'm telling you that story, one of the things that I want to begin doing, and this is only for you that want to, there's no pressure. I want to begin here at about 8:30 in the morning just playing some music. And if you want to come, prepare yourself to meet with God and actually meet with God right here. Before our service ever begins, I want to open it up for that. I tell you what, I've been doing that the last number of Sunday mornings. It's incredible what God does before the service ever starts. And the question is, do we want God to really reach out and touch our lives? Do we have areas in our lives that we know that we're not going to make it without Him reaching in and touching us? And I know many of us in this congregation are there. We want God to reach out and touch us. And I want to create an environment where God can do exactly that as a congregation. Because I don't know about you, but I need that. I need that all the time. I need it not just once every year or once every 3 months. I need God to reach out and touch me. I tell you this. This is getting into my message right now. I've been more excited about being a Christian in the last 3 weeks than I ever have been in my life. And I want to share a little bit about that this morning. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It's a familiar story. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says this, "And it happened as they," meaning Jesus and his disciples, "as they went, that he entered into a certain village," and that village is Bethany. It's the village where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. "And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." We know some other stories about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. In John chapter 11 is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Also, John chapter 12, I was just reading this. This is a side note. I had to chuckle a little bit. Mary must have had a thing with feet because here she's sitting at Jesus' feet, but she's also the person that, as Jesus was sitting at the table, she comes up and breaks the alabaster jar of ointment on his feet and washes his feet and dries him with her hair. And that's the devotion. I'm telling you those stories because that's the devotion that Mary had toward Jesus. And so Jesus comes to their house, and she sits down at his feet. And really, that's a picture of her being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Because people that Paul talked about the fact in Acts, he talked about the fact that he was taught at Gamaliel's feet. He sat at his feet and listened to him. He listened to the words that poured out of his mouth, and he became a disciple of him, and he followed him. Everything that came from Gamaliel, Paul learned from him. And that was a picture. If someone sat at your feet and listened to you, it meant that they wanted to get everything that you had, and they wanted to learn that and become a disciple of you. And that's the picture that we have of Mary. She was committed to hearing what was coming from Jesus and to be a disciple, a true disciple of his. But then the staggering words in verse 40. "But Martha was distracted with much serving." Wow. When I read those verses, I had to stop and pause a little bit. Because that is a picture of so much of our lives and so much of my life. I'm distracted by much serving. It's good stuff. In fact, that actually ties right into the parable of the sower, and we know that in Luke 8. Actually, we know the parable of the sower, where Jesus says, "The sower went out to sow, and he scattered seed, and some seed fell by the wayside. Some seed fell in stony ground and thorny, and then some seed brought forth fruit. And a part of the thorny ground," he says, "it's when the seed is sown, but the cares of this world..." Actually, I better turn to that because I need to get those verses. Verse 14 in chapter 8. "Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they heard the word, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life." And so often I read that and I think, oh, that's because I care more about the riches of life than I do the things of the Lord. But no, it means way more than that. It means the things that are the cares of this life, the things that are responsibilities to carry out and to work through and to follow through. We care about the things of life, and so we get involved in things, and we get involved in the busyness of life, exactly what Martha was doing. Jesus never condemned her serving, because she was doing things that needed to be done. She had to make meal meals for the guest. She had to be involved in those things. Those are the things that we can't get away from. They're a part of our life. But when the busyness of life chokes out what God wants to do in our lives and what He wants to pour into us, then we have a real problem. And Jesus is saying, it says, Martha was distracted with much serving. Sometimes I feel like that's a summary of my life. I'm running here and there. I'm doing this and that. It's all good stuff. It's stuff for the church. It's stuff for the ministry. It's all the stuff that needs to be done. But sometimes that distracts me from the good stuff of life. And so Martha was distracted with that, and she approached Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I've been there a time or two. I'm busy running here and there and doing this or that, and I'm saying, why can't someone step up here and help me? Why can't they join me and take some of the load or whatever my complaint is? Because I'm busy. I'm distracted with much serving. And He says, therefore tell Mary to help me. And Jesus answered and said to Him, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. There's only one thing that's needed. There's only one thing that's needed for all that we face and go through in life. There's only one thing. All the things that we face, whether it's health, whether it's messed up relationships, messed up families, the list can go on and on. There's only one thing that's needed. That's the most important thing. The title of my message is The Most Important Thing. There's only one thing that's needed. And He says, Mary has chosen that. And it's not going to be taken away from her. Mary has chosen the good thing. And it's not going to be taken away from her. There's only one thing that's needed. What is that one thing? What is the one thing that is needed in our lives? It's coming into the presence of the Lord and sitting at His feet and hear Him pour into our hearts and into our lives whatever it is that we need for that moment, for that day, for that minute. That's the one thing that's needed. We don't need, as a church, we don't need more church services and more teaching. That's all good. I'm not knocking any of that. We actually don't even need more prayer meetings. What we need to be able to do as a church is come into the presence of the Lord and know that when we get there, when we get to church, we've met with the Lord and He's spoken into our hearts. And He's touched us. And He's spoken into our hearts the words that we need to hear for whatever we're facing in life. I don't know about you, but I want a church like that. I don't want to go through the motions. I want a place where we can come and meet with the Father. We were getting ready to go to Brooklyn a couple weeks ago, and I said to Starla, I can't wait to go because it feels like my soul is numb. That's just how I was feeling. Sort of at the end of the rope again internally, just with some of the things that I've been going through in the last number of months on a personal level, and it felt like my soul was numb. And I told Starla, I can't wait to go because I want God to pour into me as I'm there, because I can't function anymore in this numbness of soul. And I had this expectation of going up there, and amazing things happened, and happening in my life. And so we went up there, and I took every opportunity there was for everything that happened. You know, respond to the Lord, standing in the presence of the Lord, just pouring out my heart to Him. And as the week went on, the problem is nothing was happening. Oh, it was a great conference. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I loved the teaching and soaking up the Word, but the truth is nothing happened. And by Tuesday night, the prayer meeting, I was getting a little bit desperate here because the numbness in my soul was still there. And we had an opportunity to go up to the altar on Tuesday evening, the prayer meeting. I just went up. I was crying out to God, pouring out my heart to Him. I was like, man, I'd love for someone to pray over me and just for you to touch me. And took every opportunity I possibly could. I left there and I was disappointed. I wasn't disappointed in the conference. I was disappointed because there was still a numbness in my soul that didn't go away. So we got home at about 1 o'clock or 1:30, I don't remember what time it was, Wednesday morning, and we started counselor training on Thursday morning, and every time I'm involved in counselor training, I come out on the other side of that just wore out emotionally and physically. And we started on Thursday morning. I was like, Lord, I have no idea how I'm going to get through these next days with this numbness that I feel in my soul and what's going on inside of me. So Friday morning, I get up and I had papers to grade and or to go over and things like that. And I was just like, Lord, I just need to come into Your presence. I need to spend time with You. I said, I'm going to forget about the papers. I'm just going to spend time. And so I went down in my office and was just there before the Lord. And I was there for a long time. And finally, the Lord touched my life. And I could feel it from my toes to the top of my head. I literally could feel His presence coming in and bringing healing and wholeness into that deadness of soul that I was feeling. That's where God touched me. It wasn't all the stuff up there, but it was me coming into His presence, literally sitting at the feet of Jesus and saying, Lord, I can't go on. I need a touch from You. I need You to reach in and touch me in the areas that I'm dead. I need answers from You for life. Because I can't go on anymore like this. I can function. I can get up and do my thing. I can go about my day. I can do all that. But what I really, really want and how I want to live my life and how I want to serve You, I can't do it anymore without meeting with You and allowing You to pour into my life. And I tell you what, that's what we need more and more of. We don't need more religious times. And you need to hear me out when I'm saying this kind of thing. We don't need more times of devotions. I've had devotions faithfully for years and years. We don't need that. That's a good thing. I'm not knocking that. I can pray for hours and never come into the presence of the Lord and never touch the Lord. I don't need more times of prayer, although I need more times of prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? But in our reading and in our devotional time and in our praying and in our church services, we need something much greater than just going through the motions. We need to be able to touch the face of the Father. Let me say this, that is the hardest work that you will do. Is the discipline of coming into the presence of the Lord. Believe me, I've tried it numbers of times in the last weeks, and I go crazy almost. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is our work ethic that we've been taught. When I'm sitting there in the presence of the Lord, I feel guilty because I have a list of things that I need to get done. And for me to take 45 minutes and sit there, it looks like I'm staring out the window or doing whatever. That's hard work. The other night I was home alone and I was doing the same thing, just coming into the presence of the Lord, saying, Lord, I need a word from you for the future. And what do I do? How do I move forward? And what do I say, even in some things at church here? And I was sitting there and the Lord was speaking to me. I had a tablet. I was writing down as fast as I could write. And 2 minutes later, my mind was thinking about what I needed to do at work the next day and how I was going to do what I needed to get done. And all of a sudden, I shook myself awake and I said, wait a minute, I was just talking to the Lord 1 minute ago, 2 minutes ago, and I was actually had tears running down my face because of what he was saying to me. And 2 minutes later, I'm totally away from that and I'm over here thinking about work. And so I pulled myself back and went into it. And about 3 minutes later, I found myself walking around the living room doing something out there. And I didn't even know what was going on, except I knew that it was incredible work for me to stay right here sitting at the feet of Jesus and saying, Lord, what do you want to pour into my life? What do you want to speak to me about for the things that I have coming up and that I'm facing? It's an incredible amount of work, because the truth is Satan doesn't want us there. Satan doesn't want us there because it's the most important thing that we'll ever do in our lives. It's not what we preach. It's not what we teach. It's not the counseling that we do and the lives that we've. The most important thing for us to do is to sit right there in the presence of the Lord and listen to Him. Speak to us. Pour into our lives. Tell us what we need to know to move us forward so that we can be effective in the work that He's called us to do. That's my heart for us as a congregation, that we collectively can come into the presence of the Lord. Because I tell you what, if we ever reach that as a church, we're not going to have to worry about services and outreach and all those kind of things. All we need to do is to be able to touch the Lord when we're together, and all that stuff will take care of itself. I believe that with all my heart. The question is, there's a verse that stood out to me, Galatians 5:16, just in the last couple of days that as I was reading, the Lord impressed on my heart. It says this, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I've always just blown right over that thing. Oh yeah, okay, I get that. But the truth is, if we spend time in the presence of the Lord and walking with Him, whatever's going on in our lives, He will speak to. He will be faithful to speak into, and we'll have strength and power to move forward and to conquer the things of this world and the things of our flesh in incredible ways, because we're walking in the Spirit. We're walking in the presence of the Lord, and we'll gain power and victory and help in really, really incredible ways. But it all comes back to the most important thing: coming into the presence of the Lord, sitting at His feet, coming before Him saying, Lord, I do need You to touch me right now. I'm facing this. I'm facing that. I have this numbness of soul. If you're in the position that I was in when I went up there, I have this numbness of soul. I need a soft soul. I need to be able to soak up Your word. And He's faithful. I believe in a God that's faithful. I love what Vernon shared in devotions last Sunday about how he was feeling about life and the honesty that he brought. Because as we bring that honesty to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know how to handle what's coming at me right now. He does. He does know how to handle what's coming at us right then, and He can pour into our lives and into our souls in really incredible ways. This morning, I want to give us an opportunity. I don't know what we're facing. I know what some of you are facing, but I only know a fraction of what you're facing in your lives and what you're going through. This morning, I want to give an opportunity. It's not an invitation, as in I'm responding to something the Lord's calling me to, and I want to come up front. This is an invitation to say, I want to come into the presence of the Lord. I just want to come and stand before Him and allow Him to speak. And maybe there's something that you're crying out to the Lord for, saying, I just want you to touch me. I have this deadness of soul that I want you to reach out. I want you to touch me. I have this thing that I'm facing that I've been dealing with, and I just want you to reach out and touch. One of the messages they preached up there was the message of the blind man who just cried out to God, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And maybe you're in a point that you don't even know how to pray. The only thing you know how to do is cry out to God and say, I need you to be merciful to me. I need you to touch me, because I don't know anything else. I've tried everything else. I'm at the end of my rope. I just want you to touch me. And so maybe you just want to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to touch me. I come before you. Son of David, have mercy on me. Here as we gather this morning, can you just dim the lights up here a little bit? I just want to open this altar up right now and just give you an opportunity to come before the Lord and to stand before Him as James and Carla sing and play this song.